Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so much going on. The Bears today getting set for their opener against the Lions. We've got the NFL kickoff tomorrow between Kansas City and Houston. We've got both baseball teams in first place. Sox and Pirates tonight, then Cubs and Reds at Wrigley Field.
I just made a bet on the Celtics to end the series with the Raptors tonight.
Yeah, they've been good. And then we've got Clippers going up against the Nuggets, plus Billy Donovan and the rumors with the Bulls. So much to get to. Who better to talk to about it all than Michael Wilbon?
Michael's brought to you by HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
All right, Matthew can keep his Trubisky jersey because Mitchell is starting the season at Bears quarterback. Michael, you fired up about it?
Fired up would not be an accurate term. I tell you, it's funny you mentioned Matthew can keep his jersey. It was interesting because today Matthew woke me up with two bits of news. That's his thing now, like he's a producer or something. And he just says, you know, Dad, he gives me the Billy Donovan news, which I'd actually heard last night before I went to bed. And then he says, you know, how do you feel about this Trubisky number one situation? I said, how do you feel? You got his jersey. You're wearing his jersey around. And it sounded like he wouldn't commit, but it sounded like he wanted Foles. And I said, I want Trubisky. And he's like, Dad, why do you want Trubisky? All you did was scream at him last year. I said, well, no, I screamed at the coach more last year because the coach didn't do his job. He didn't want to coach this guy. Now, maybe since Trubisky has won the competition, whatever that means, that Matt Nagy will want to actually coach him, coach Trubisky in the way he coached him more or less 2 years ago and not last year.
You know what?
I'm good with Trubisky winning the starting job.
You know what my theory was like halfway through last season, Mike?
What?
It was like a science fiction thing. I think the quarterback ate the head coach's brain. I think Mitch ate Matt's brain.
Wait a minute. Everybody was getting on me last year about being cold with Nagy. That's even colder. Saying that the coach's brain was gone, whether it was devoured by the quarterback or not.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, after a while, the monster just ate his brain, and it just
became somebody
a disaster.
He didn't have it. He was not in control of it, not in the way a head coach ought to be. And, you know, my take on this was if you want to coach – if you want to coach the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, then you should have stayed in Kansas City.
Well, Michael, what's your philosophy then? Like, was it that Foles just didn't have time to beat out Mitch, and maybe in different circumstances he would have? Do you believe that the general manager still wants to see Trubisky play this out?
I must admit, I'm not following this that closely every day. I'm not. I'm sweating with the Cubs every night, and, you know, whatever they're doing, and before that, it was, you know, hoping the Blackhawks could win another series after
it's
the one in Edmonton.
It's not worth your frustration
What's that?
I said it's not worth the frustration. That's
it isn't. It isn't
by,
worth
by
it. I don't believe it was necessarily a real competition anyway. I mean, they were going to decide what they're going to decide, and so I don't know what it was. I'm not so sure that Mitch isn't just better. Again, I'm not. You know, when it comes to people in town and what they believe, I am not down on Mitch. I don't think Mitch is the greatest thing, you know, since Sid Luckman. Well, she only had to be one removed. It's just McMahon from that. But I don't think Mitch is lacking anything. I don't think he's on target to be, you know, a top three quarterback. But I don't think he's lacking. I think he's got to be coached. And I think his coach failed him last year. And you guys know we were in Miami. We had some evidence offered up.
Yes.
And from a credible source, which of course I'm not going to reveal, and neither are you guys, but there was evidence thrown at us from a source that we all found credible. And so I believe, you know, I thought that going in. I had said that before I'd even heard that. So I want to see if this coach is going to, is he going to coach this guy? Is he going to coach the guy he's got? You know, and put him in positions to win football games and stop trying to justify his own genius, which happens all too often in the NFL these days. Matt Nagy's not the only guy.
In general terms, Mike, are you surprised that the NFL season will kick off on time, and are you excited for it?
I'm happy that it appears to be heading that direction. And tomorrow, I'm thrilled. I mean, you know, I watch probably more football than just about anybody, because I'm a person who's had a dish for 20 plus years. And when did I get a satellite dish? Well, I got DirecTV in 1996, and I will admit it was primarily for the purpose of seeing every game Michael Jordan played once he came back. So 95. But having it, I still watch a ton of football, and I watch, and the other part was to watch every Bears game. And I've watched, I don't, you know, I mean, I might miss a Bears game if I'm at another NFL game, but if I have a chance to see it, I'm not going to miss it, and I haven't. And so I'm, you know, a little wary, but hopefully this will come off without too many positives. Hopefully it will come off a lot more smoothly than baseball, which has missed a lot of games. And hopefully football, which does have the ability to keep its players, and Tommy, you know about this better than Sylvia or I would, you know, the notion of that practice facility, that compound that every football team has, you guys are there, what, about 14 hours a day, something like that?
Well, they can keep you there for a long time based on when they want you there and when they want you to leave. I mean, they could actually manufacture a scenario that keeps you there longer than normal.
They refer to it in some cases as a bubble. Because guys are getting there, particularly depending on the position, before it's light in the winter, and certainly leaving long after it's dark. And there's just not that much to do otherwise. So I'm hopeful, fingers crossed, that, you know, that will win the day, and there won't be the number of positive cases that will threaten to derail the season. I hope that's not the case. And I'm looking forward to watching football games on Sunday, starting with the Bears.
Did you ever have the oversized dish in the backyard before DirecTV?
No, the one you need the coordinates and stuff? No. Yeah. That's way too complicated for me.
Yeah,
that's way too complicated. That thing is crazy because you can just get whatever you want.
Yeah.
But in terms of receiving it. But no, I always had – whenever DirecTV came out, I want to say that was 1994 or 5, but it seems to me it was 95, because it was when Jordan came back, and I was like, you know what? I'm never missing another game that he plays.
Yeah,
unless I'm somewhere else.
And that you bring us to a good direction now too, because I was taking Waddle through the history of the Bulls, and most times they hire a first-time NBA head coach.
Overwhelmingly.
Right. Like, I think I remembered Scott Skiles as being like...
Scott Skiles had been a coach in Orlando, maybe?
Or Phoenix, I want to say, right?
Maybe Minnesota. He'd been somewhere.
And so, yeah. So here's Billy Donovan, who's... And now Woj is reporting the Bulls are interested. Do you believe that Billy Donovan and the Bulls could be a good match?
Yes. For one, the Bulls have identified that the two places they've got to be better instantly, which does not depend on the draft or trades or free agency or any of that. The two places they know they have to be better right now are development, player development, and health. And how do you control those two things? You don't really control anything, but player development, you can. Look at what OKC did the last couple of years under Billy Donovan. And granted, you add Chris Paul in that mix, you're going to get better. Not player development, player acquisition. But part of the player development there is Chris Paul. When you see Chris Paul running timeouts, and he and Billy Donovan are sort of tag team running the squad, that's, man, look how much better they got. Look at a guy like Dort. Look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Look, the Clippers knew he was going to be good. Did they know he was going to be that good that they included him in that trade? Yeah, I mean, they had to no matter what. But That's what OKC has done, in that they got a bunch of guys you have no idea who they are other than, you know, the big center, Stephen, what's his name?
Stephen Adams.
Big Aussie, beating New Zealand center, Stephen Adams. And Chris Paul, you don't know who's on that team. And they just took Houston seven games, and I really thought, you know, had them in game seven. So player development, yes, check in the column of Billy Donovan, and understanding what needs to be done. And they got to support him with that in the front office.
Mike, can he help in recruiting too, though? You like, that's not the top couple
things
on your list.
I don't chalk that up to a coach's job. If the coach is that dynamic, Billy Donovan isn't.
Maybe not recruiting,
like
Mike, but
Jason Kidd is your coach. He might be able to recruit somebody.
Okay.
By the way, Jason Kidd available. And a guy that I would love to see coach the Bulls, Jason Kidd. There are a lot of guys. Billy Donovan's one of them. I've known Billy. I covered Billy Donovan in college when I was covering the Big East and he was playing at Providence. So I've known Billy. I love Billy Donovan. He was my either runner-up or third guy. I think I had Nick Nurse one. I know I had Nick Nurse one. And I had either Donovan and Spoelstra or Spoelstra and Donovan. Either case, I thought Billy Donovan, what he did this year. And again, it's in concert with Chris Paul. But you've got to have a great lead player. And you like a great lead player who's also a leader. So Billy Donovan gets a big credit for that. But there are guys, like I said, like Sam Cassell, who's on the Clippers staff, Doc Rivers staff, Jason Kidd. There's some guys out there.
Are you encouraged by what you're hearing from what the Bulls are even considering?
Am I what?
Are you encouraged by some of the things you're hearing coming out?
Yeah. Because I think that player development is one place where they could really take a jump up in terms of player development. But those guys have to be healthy and on the court. And it sounds like they've overhauled their entire philosophy of what they're going to do in terms of health and conditioning. And that, look, when you got guys drafted as high as those guys on the Bulls team have been drafted, but they're not even on the court for 40 games a year, like, why wouldn't you start there? That just seems like a smart place to start to me.
You think, Michael, they're going to be, like, just a few weeks ago, Casey Johnson wrote an article saying, look, in this pandemic, the Bulls may not be willing to spend the money to buy Jim Boylan out. Now you think they're going to be, are you hopeful they're willing to write a $5 million check for Billy Donovan?
Well, they're going to write it for whoever, unless they bring in a coach entirely nobody's heard of. I mean, I guess they could do that.
Like an assistant, like Udoka or Darvin Ham.
Yeah, maybe. And by the way, those two are guys that a lot of people have their eye on. David Vanderpool. I mean, there's no shortage of candidates that you would say after you talk to these guys 3, 4, 5 times and do the due diligence and talk to players, there's no shortage of guys you say, you know what, I'd like to give him a try. There's no shortage of that. So whether they go, by going to a guy who's going to be a first-time coach, you may be getting out for $2 million less per year, maybe. I don't know what the exact numbers are going to be. But I don't know. It depends on what are their aspirations. You know, what are their aspirations immediately and then going forward? And the Bulls have also, let's be fair about this, the Bulls have had great success with guys who have coached for the first time. They have. One of them is named Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson, the only other place he coached was in the CBA. For that matter, Doug Collins, who was on the bench, I think, for about a minute and a half at Arizona or Arizona State. I can't even remember which one. Doug Collins. I mean, the Bulls have done this now. They even had, who was the coach Derrick Rose's rookie year when they played that great series against Boston? Was that Vinny Del Negro?
Yes, Vinny.
I mean, Vinny, I don't know that Vinny had coached. Vinny was one of those guys that you looked at like Jason Kidd, who said, well, not like Jason Kidd in terms of the Hall of Fame playing credential, but a guy who, as a player, people listened to and thought, okay, this guy can be a good coach. And he had middling success, but not enough to sort of stay in it. But there are guys out there. You don't have to have Billy Donovan if you think he wants a level that you're not willing to commit to in terms of financial commitment. But again, if you're looking at player development, I am. Billy Donovan's got to be in your mix. He doesn't have to be the guy you decide on, but yes, the Bulls should be interested in listening to him. Why wouldn't they be?
Okay, I want to continue the conversation a little more in the NBA, too. I was thinking about someone in the NBA that I think has one of the most impressive resumes ever in sports.
Ooh.
And I want to see if you agree. We'll get to that with Michael Wilbon next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Our conversation with Michael Wilbon continues every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So I was watching the Heat last night, Michael, and I was just thinking about Riley. And has there ever been a guy who continues to be relevant and evolve through different stages of the game? And it doesn't matter that Chris Bosh had to leave early and retire early because of his health. It doesn't matter that Dwayne Wade went to the Bulls. It doesn't matter that LeBron went back to Cleveland. He doesn't bitch. He doesn't complain. He just finds a way to win more games and to get his next great team lined up. Through all these years, from the Lakers to the Knicks to Miami as a coach and now front office, has there been a guy that you can remember has had the sustained success like Pat Riley?
Well, Jerry West. I mean, Jerry had it. And obviously they were teammates at least for a minute. Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's a short list because you got to be a lifer. You got to be in. You got to be in it for forever, and those two have been in it for forever. And you know, gosh, I guess is it possible that Jerry West is 10 years older than Pat Riley? Jerry West has got to be like 81, and maybe Riley's a little older. Maybe Riley's like 73 or 74 now. But those guys, man, they had success. They got rings as play at least one. I don't know that Riley does. I know Jerry West has that one ring from the team that won 33 in a row with Wilt that Baylor couldn't play for because Baylor got a knee injury early that season, that famous, famous team. And Jerry and Pat Riley, of course, I mean, you know, he sort of defines that modern era and that he came in with, you know, Magic, and they had that tag team, and, you know, Cap was on that team, and they went against Bird, and they went against Julius, and had all that success. You're right. And he has continued to evolve, and it might be another stage. I mean, this would represent another stage because this is post-LeBron. You know, people were thinking, oh, Pat Riley's going to bring in LeBron. He's going to have Bosh. He's going to go after one more with Wade. And they went after it. He got a couple. But then, you know, here he is again, another iteration. It is fascinating. And you can see that team. Spoelstra has so much of that Riley influence, and then so does the team. And then Jimmy Butler, he plucked from somebody else for the free agent market, a guy who had just that personality. You guys know I've always been on Jimmy Butler's side. When he was in Minnesota and Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins didn't want him, you know who I blamed? I blamed them, not him. And then in Philadelphia, when he left, you know, he recognized earlier than most that, you know, the chemistry might not have been where it should have been for that team to then, you know, pursue a championship, which apparently it wasn't this year. But, you know, Riley, yeah. I mean, what he's got going on right now. I didn't have Miami winning this series. I didn't have Milwaukee winning the East. I had them losing to Toronto or Boston, but specifically Toronto. And now to go out this way to Miami, and the question is now, can Miami beat either Boston or Toronto? That's the a very appealing and sort of sexy matchup we get for the next round.
Mike, what would be the most appealing and sexy matchup in the NBA Finals, in your opinion?
Either the Lakers or – well, look, Lakers-Celtics, it's hard to get away from that, right? I mean, you know, the Lakers with LeBron, you know, another, you know, iteration of the Los Angeles Lakers, whether you go from – we've gone in history from the Mikan teams to, you know, to West and Baylor to West and Wilt, you know, to – you know, Magic and Cap, and Magic and Kareem, and then the Shaq and Kobe, and then just Kobe, and now we've got this. I mean, I don't know how you go against Lakers Celtics, and the Celtics team it's kind of like those Celtics teams were, where they had just three or four great players, and not the one supernova. So I'm fine with that, but I'm also I picked the Clippers at the beginning of the year, and I'm fine with Clippers. And I'd be fine with Toronto. You know, I mean, Toronto, if Toronto was to somehow make this up, this deficit up, and get back to 3-3 tonight and win game seven without their best player, with their best player having defected. I mean, suppose you got Clippers Toronto. How good would that be? So I think there's a lot of possible. I think there's several potential matchups using any of the three teams in the West, and either of those two teams. I think you do have to have Lakers or Clippers in the West. I think that Denver will have a certain appeal if they can make this a long series and you get used to their young stars and you get used to seeing them more than once. Then in a year or two, people can be saying, I don't need the Lakers or Clippers. I got Denver. I want to see Denver. I don't think Houston's in that position. I don't believe in small ball philosophically. And look, they got two big stars too, but I don't believe in small ball. I don't believe small ball is going to beat the Lakers in this playoff series.
Michael, there's a lot of talk about Giannis and the comp between him and LeBron.
Yeah.
When LeBron was in his first run with Cleveland, do you think he's going to want to stay in Milwaukee or do you think he'll eventually leave?
Well, I'm taking him at his word now. And his word last night was he wants to stay and build something. Good for him if he does. I mean, I've seen Sylvie, I don't know if you've been up there, but for Chicagoans, I mean, Milwaukee's always sort of the, you know, little brother city, right? And when we were growing up in Chicago, I don't know if you've been up there to see how cool it is what they're putting on up there when the Bucks are playing at home. I'm not sure if you went up there last year. It's a show. It's really, to me, engaging and entertaining and healthy. And I just sort of liked having spent that time in Milwaukee last year. And let's face it, that exists because of Giannis. But I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, I told you guys last year it was stupid. It wasn't stupid. It was a bad move. It was the wrong move to get rid of Malcolm Brogdon and let him go to a division rival in Indy. And he was their second best player, in my opinion. Certainly their second most important player. They need a playmaker right now. Who don't they have? Oh, wait, they don't have an elite playmaker. Oh, they just let one go. That they had, he was their guy. So I think this is a major problem. If they can't figure out how to keep players around Giannis, then he's going to want to go. And if they don't do, they got to improve their roster. Middleton is not a number two. Not in the way, you know, the comparison came up because Richard Jefferson made it. The comparison is, you know, with Scotty. He's not Scotty. Not yet. And I know there's some games in which he scored big. He played really well a couple of games without Giannis. But the point is you got to play better with Giannis. But I just don't. Bledsoe's your star. He's your playmaker. He's a guy that I want initiating offense in the fourth quarter of playoff games. No, not really. And so they got some personnel issues that have to be addressed this year. All they're going to come back and do is the same thing they've done the last 2 years, which is lose. And then what is Giannis, what is he thinking? You know, at 26 then, after another season, what's he saying? I don't want to give away the prime of my life. You know, getting upset in playoff series after we've been the number one seed, which they've been twice.
Mike, I always wondered when this thing started in the bubble, A, would they be able to complete the mission? And B, would the championship feel as special and as brilliant as other championships? Do you think, I mean, the product has been fantastic. Do you think that this title in 2020 will in fact feel different?
I think it'll feel different, yeah. But I think it'll be the hardest thing they've ever done. Whoever wins. And particularly now since we got a sampling of teams that have been close to winning anyway, with or at least the people. When you're talking about Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, LeBron, Anthony Davis hasn't been particularly close, but LeBron obviously has won. If Houston somehow, you know, got closer and you have Westbrook and Harden who've been to finals. I think this is harder than anything they've done. I think this is more admirable in some ways. There's no home court. There's no assist. There's no boost. There's no pat on the back. You got to go through this thing in which you're doing, by and large, you know, without your not in your normal circumstance. It's got to be incredibly difficult and different. And I'm not going to say it's better, but I think in some ways, whoever wins is going to look back and say, my God, this was hard. Right. I mean, I think this has got to be the hardest championship to win. You know, even for people who might have won multiples.
It's really good topic. Michael, great stuff. Happy football, and we will talk next week.
Thanks, all right, Mike. Sounds good, you guys.
There he is, Michael Wilbon, each and every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Mark Jean Greco is ready to go in the First Midwest Bank studio. We will talk to him coming up next.
What's up, everybody? Yes, Sylvie, you should do that going into the next break. Football is finally here in the season. You can bet all the action on FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook, here's something you won't want to miss. Right now, new users can get an exclusive plus 2,500 odds boost on Kansas City to win their Thursday night week one game against the Texans. You heard right. You can bet $5 to win $125 on the defending champs in their first game. First of all, they're like a 9-point favorite. Second of all, they're like minus 490 on the money line. And you can get them. You can bet $5 to win $125. That's $125 basically free, assuming they win, of course. And even if they don't, it's only $5. With FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook, incredible odds are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and once you win, they get your winnings to you in as little as 24 hours through their safe and secure process. So if you've never tried FanDuel, try it now. FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook. It's time to get off the sidelines. Download the FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook app today. Sign up with the promo code Abdallah and make your first deposit to claim your exclusive plus 2,500 odds boost on the Chiefs to beat the Texans. Use the promo code Abdallah so they know I sent you. ABDALLA. Must be 21 or over, present in Illinois or Indiana. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $125. See full terms at FanDuel.Sportsbook.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And if you're in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Camera has been flipped as on the Twitch channel you now can see a very dapper Mark Jean Greco. Usually he's got his sleeves rolled up, his sport coat off, but he's in full sport coat with tie still up. What's the deal, Mark? All buttoned up today.
Doing all shows this week, Sylvie. You know, I'm just jumping here between newscasts, so.
Plus, so no,
you know,
break.
If you're on Twitch, you know, you need to dress it up.
You look good.
Anyway. Thank you, sir. And thank you God look great on your promo today, by the way. You're looking real good.
Yeah, you know, in the Mitchapalooza shirt. You take that wherever you go, and everyone compliments you.
Yeah, hopefully we don't see a shirt, Mitchapoor Loser, after this weekend.
That's true.
You know?
We were coming up with the catchphrases, like Waddle was trying to say, just be average, and we were trying to dial that up. Someone came up with a good one on a spinoff of try not to suck. How about try not to punt?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Or throw into the Lions, question mark. You don't want to be doing that.
This is the one I used. I workshopped it with one of our callers. Is Nagy, a picture of Nagy with the Denny's menu in his hand, screaming behind it, I said points, not punts.
I like that. I like all of them, actually. But hopefully we won't be going to those on Monday morning. Although the early line is the Bears 3-point dogs, which oddsmakers have nothing to set these odds with at all. And, you know, the Bears aren't ready. The Lions aren't ready. Nobody's ready. So this is your first preseason game, except it counts. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this season unfolds, because even the good teams, I don't think, are going to get together till week four.
Do you guys think we're going to be talking after Sunday, oh boy, none of these guys were ready to play football?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Bears could eke out a win after a really lousy, sloppy game, you know, where it's just who made the fewest mistakes won.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you get guys on pitch counts. I mean, I don't know. Think about it. Robert Quinn is out today with an ankle.
Yeah.
You know, Khalil Mack shows up on the injury report with a knee. Akeem Hicks missed a ton of time with his quad injury, I think is what it was. My guess is you're going to see a lot of rotation. And not to mention, what do they have, 12 or 10 practices?
Yeah.
Right.
There's no way. Like, the regular training camp these days, I find it hard to be ready for opening game of the season. Imagine going through this modified training camp and expecting to be ready to go to play an NFL game like normal on the first weekend of the season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
quite an ask.
We talked about it last week. Practice squad guys are going to play, you know. That roster is going to flip every week. So, you know, the 53 is just what they're starting with. It's not a final roster. It's going to change every single week this season.
Do you find it odd the way that Sylvie and I do that the Bears, while you sit around, and we talked about this a little bit. We didn't talk about it a ton. You see Mahomes and Watson get their deals, and I get it. McCaffrey got his deal. I get it. Kittle got his deal. I get it. Then you see Jalen Ramsey get paid. Buda Baker got paid. There's a lot of guys out there that got paid, and yet the Bears still
seem... Did you mention Hopkins, too?
I did not. Hopkins as well.
Yeah. But he got his 2 years, $54 million, 42 guaranteed.
Are you surprised that the Bears haven't? Because they do have the ability to spend a little bit of that money. Are you surprised that they haven't tried to re-up him? And why haven't they? Listen, there's no rush. You can do it as time goes by, but why not do it now? Or do you, quote-unquote, have – I'm just asking. Are there some cash flow issues because of the nature of how things are going because of the pandemic? I can't imagine there are, but this invites the question.
Did you hear what you just said? You answered your own question. It's the Bears. You know? It's a question mark, but, you know, I'm not surprised that they haven't re-upped him.
But the Bears have paid Julius Peppers and Khalil Mack.
Sylvie, I'm not, like, they haven't been cheap at all. I think that's a narrative that just doesn't play anymore.
It's a new world. It's a brand new world.
Well, but
when
you sign guys like that, I think the rule is you have to put 90% of the signing bonus in escrow. And if the cash isn't coming, look, I don't know. I'm just asking the question because when all these other guys seem to be getting deals, it seems a little bit odd that the Bears are unwilling to re-sign or sign an extension for really the one offensive player that's been worth having in the huddle for every play.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And he's been such a gentleman. He's been so professional and so cool about it. And he is, by every rating system, a number one on every team in this league, and a number two maybe from the top five teams. So, yeah, I don't get it either. And I think he's been biting his tongue lately, but he still just said, hey, I'm just thinking about Detroit. I just want to play. I want to help Mitch. I mean, he's been so classy, but, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know. That's been a mystery for months and months and months. I have no answer.
Yeah. Waddle, were you on the air yesterday when we were talking? Dalla was telling me that he tweeted and deleted something.
I wasn't on the air weekend. When you guys were doing it. I did see something. He tweeted like three emojis with eyeballs.
No, what was it, Abdallah, where he tweeted and deleted about you can't hit the pitch if a pitch has never been made or something like that?
Yeah, it was something to that effect. I got to find it. It was someone sent it to me, and I'll talk amongst yourselves.
It was something like about. Because he was inferring that the Bears haven't given him the opportunity to accept a pitch.
God, it sounds like our business.
Yeah, that he's been waiting to hear from them, but you know, and there's been reports, there's been rumors that it was close, but he's always told us from the Super Bowl to the offseason that there was no news at any time during this offseason.
Who is his agent? Is the tack to wait for the Bears? You'd think his agent would be all over them saying, hey, we going to talk or what?
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen, some guys maybe – I always got the impression he wanted to be here for a long time.
Sure.
I don't know. It seems a little bit odd because they've been proactive in other situations with guys. I want to see them get – listen, again, I want to see – somebody brought up the scenario a little bit ago that maybe, you know, if the season goes south that they could use him as trade. Listen, at this point, you're not eliminating quality offensive players. Well, you're keeping them.
You can't plan your future like that. The future is now in this new world. Allen Robinson – I can't imagine there's anything that they're concerned about. I can't imagine there's anything that we don't know. Anything going on behind the scenes or anything with his health or anything like
that. No, and Mark, and you hit it, that not only is he a good guy off the field, he has no diva-like qualities on the field.
Which is really weird for a wide receiver.
Right.
Yeah.
We've seen it before here. 312-332-3776 if you want to talk to Mark Gene Greco. We have not touched on this, guys. I heard this during Cap Show this morning, and I want to get to it next. An all-team NCAA tournament. Are you buying or selling this notion? And a couple of things I didn't get to yesterday when Mark was in studio that I think you'd be very interested in. Mark Gene Greco is brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle and the River. David Flemm and Maddie Moore will do it right for you.
and they are absolutely awesome. Check out their outdoor patio. The weather's going to warm up here at the end of the week, and make your reservations today. More with Markey, courtesy of Chicago Cut, next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Trend Micro Cloud One, the world's leading security services platform for cloud builders. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Mark Gene Greco's in the First Midwest Bank studio. He's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Did you see this morning? I heard it on Cap Show that the ACC coaches, led by Coach K, they all want celebration of basketball where there would be a 350-team bracket where every team in Division One basketball this year would make the NCAA tournament.
That's a huge bubble. That's a gigantic bubble. I think that's a big reach. Let's just settle down, okay? We're going to reset in 2021. Let's just chill, okay? I'm totally against that.
Well, is this a way to, like, give funds or a way to make more money?
Yeah.
Well,
it's always a money grab.
Right?
That's what it is. It's a money grab 24/7. That's all it is.
I was going to say, like, anything that comes out and you say to yourself, wow, that's a really... You know, that's a really great idea. Just understand that the cash register is somewhere near.
Yeah, it's not about celebrating basketball.
I think you can do both. I think you can make a bunch of money and celebrate basketball at the same time.
It's about printing money from basketball.
But yeah, but the key component is making money.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys, I've not heard one person today say, sign me up for the 350-team tournament. Nobody has said that today.
No. Oh, you could sign me up for that. This is like gambling. Like, my phone would smoke.
I got Maryland, Baltimore County, or whatever.
Yeah,
No.
They're the 16
seed. How long would
seed.
That tournament take?
Well, what is it? Two extra rounds? How many extra rounds is it? You'd go 64-128 to...
Are you giving anybody...
I think the math works out where it's three extra rounds.
Three extra rounds.
But could you give... Like, could some of them be play-in games? So, like...
No, you got to be one and done. That's it.
So you would have the number one seed up against the 350th?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oof.
You don't want to play that game.
That's half court for about 10 minutes.
So I'm saying, like, the top 24 seeds or whatever it is, they don't have to play.
No, you got to make them play just to get it over with. You got to trim that field fast. Why are we even talking about this? Not happening. Next topic.
Oh, really? Okay, fine. 312-332-3776. Abdallah, we still have to give away one more spot for the Foles contest, right? When he plays his first game. So caller 9 right now. And do we still have Tim in Downers Grove who wants
also
to talk?
Yes.
Tim in Downers Grove, say hi to Mark Gene Greco.
Mr. Gene Greco, how you doing, legend?
Tim, how you doing, buddy?
So, you know, a year ago tonight, the Bears were like the first ticket to the Super Bowl, the 100-year centennial game, Soldier Field, Bears, Packers. Everyone was on the Kool-Aid. Because the year before, you know, let's not forget about Mitch throwing 6 touchdowns, the best quarterback performance ever against Tampa Bay. That was just 2 years ago, what, next week? Like late September?
I've completely forgotten.
And then when he threw the big touchdown in the fourth quarter to bury the Packers, to seal the division, that was the end of 2018.
God, I don't remember.
And then when he got the ball back with 45 seconds in the playoffs to lead him down the field for the double doink, like, came off a Pro Bowl season, right?
Come on, Like, come on.
So here, don't ditch Mitch.
Thing.
I'm on don't ditch Mitch.
Okay.
Don't ditch Mitch. Okay.
Huh?
Yeah, look, look, it was supposed to be the jumping off point. That's the most disappointing part.
Instead,
that
the fans jumped off into the lake.
Right. That wasn't supposed to be like the barometer. That was supposed to be the jumping off point. Instead, he jumped off and went downward. And you wonder now what they're going to be and what he is.
But now he's got all the confidence in the world because he realized there was going to be a competition this year. That's what he said today. That's what motivated him. And so it's all plugged in now.
This is all nice conversation, and it all may it may all turn into tangible improvement. It's all just noise until you see it all happen against live competition.
And Mitch doesn't have a motivation problem.
No.
Mitch doesn't have a leadership problem. Mitch doesn't have a work problem. Mitch just does. It doesn't click when he's out there 11-on-11.
It's recognition, it's talent, it's reaction. Hey, good guy who works hard.
Yes.
And everybody likes him.
Leader.
He's just not that good.
Right.
And it's taken a long time.
Right. Exactly. Hey, I was online. I didn't bring this up yesterday. We didn't get a chance to get to it. I was arguing with Fred Huebner over the weekend. Sunday Night Baseball. I finally got what I wanted, guys. I finally
got. That was good. I liked it.
Me too. A player mic'd up and talking to the broadcast booth while the game was going on.
Do you think that he failed to make the play because, I mean, that's what somebody's going to say.
Sure. Because
you remember that the play was a tough play to be made. But he bounced one into first base on a throw.
Because like the earpiece was in?
No. I don't know. I mean, like, somebody's going to tell you, well, he wasn't fully concentrated.
Yeah, but, you know, all bets are off this year. With just, 60 games.
I thought it was good.
You got to plug that stuff in. I think you have to be really careful. If you're going to do this on a regular basis moving forward, you have to pick the right guy, obviously, from each team, the Mr. Personality guy, the guy who's going to be in the booth after he retires. But you can't beat it to death like everything else in sports and television and everything else. You take a good thing and you just beat it into the ground. So you got to be, just dispense it, like just maybe only do it on Sunday nights.
When Paul DeYoung was mic'd up and he was talking back and he's at first base talking to Rizzo. They're relaying messages. Mm-hmm. Thought it was really good, and it took us inside of a ball that one guy thought was foul, the other guy thought was fair.
Yeah.
It was really good stuff.
I mean, nobody's
stuff.
Better to talk to than Rizzo at first with the runner on base. I mean, everybody wants to know what that conversation is.
Right.
And, it's great. It's insightful.
We have caller 9, Mark in Lake Forest. Hey, Mark.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Gian Greco, I grew up across the border in Canada. Sylvie, great to hear your voice.
Did you really? Where?
Stratford. My sister lives in Welland.
Oh, my God. I used to go to the No, that was Brantford, not Stratford.
Yeah, well, okay. I've been there, too. That's
yeah, okay. Yeah, so you spell it M-A-R-C or M-A-R-K?
I'm a K.
Okay,
a K,
good. Yeah. You qualify. Good.
I'm just so happy. This is like my luck day, and I'm so happy to be with you guys. It's silly. Great to hear your voice, and God bless you guys.
Thank you, Mark.
This is just such a privilege. Good to hear from you boys, and I'm glad I was calling back.
All right, Abdallah, what week does he get for the Foles takeover?
Into the cup we go. All right, let me paint you a scenario. Let me paint you a picture. Close your eyes unless you're driving. So Trubisky is out here balling. And then something happens during the bye week, and they're like, all right, well, we beat Minnesota, before the bye, but then Trubisky goes out and maybe he's getting a little too cocky. Maybe he's drinking his own Kool-Aid a little bit too much. They lose to Detroit, or they lose to Green
How
Bay.
Do you drink your own Kool-Aid?
They lose to Green Bay.
This is disgusting.
They lose to Green Bay. They lose to Detroit. And then on Sunday, December 13th, it's Watson versus Mitch, and Watson's out there just decimating the Bears defense, just like he did to Alabama, just decimating this high leverage defense, and Mitch can't do anything. So finally, they're like, we've had enough. So week 15 against the Minnesota Vikings on the road, Foles finally gets the start.
All right, Mark, you get that week.
You got a long wait, buddy.
I take the under, man. I was at the – I saw it out.
By the way, as soon as they open the border, I'll see you up in Canada.
Well, I'm in Chicago, bro.
Well, let's go. We'll road trip it together.
Sorry,
you guys want to talk off air or something? Like,
yeah,
what's,
well,
what,
hold
what
on.
What's going on here?
We'll get your party line off the air. Hold on.
Hey, Mark and Mark, what's on the baseball show tonight?
Hey, go Argonauts.
We got right. NBA. We've got NBA basketball next, Waddle. We've got the Raptors game coming up.
It's already started.
Yeah, so we're going to join that in progress. And will there be an elimination by the Celtics tonight?
I hope so, because I got the Celtics on the money line.
They're up 15-9 first quarter.
All right, Mark, thank you. We will talk Friday.
All right, guys, you got it. Thank you.
Mark G. Greco brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Simply the best. Again, we've got Celtics Raptors coming up next. Thank you to Mark Gian Greco, Michael Wilbon, and Chuck Garfine. Great work by Adam Abdallah and Chris Bleck.
For Mark and Waddle, I'm Silvy. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.